I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Y'all see, if you're watching this live, I always have the rosy cheeks and the smile. But I got a big old cheesy smile today because I am here with one of the besties, the best of the best of what it means to be a 49ers fan, Paul Hope from across the pond in UK faithful. How are you doing, my brother?
All the better, John, for having you. 6 p.m. in the UK. 10 a.m. Pacific. I've got to get used to these changes of the clocks and the time. But, John, it's always a pleasure to catch up and talk football. So thanks for having me on, buddy.
Oh, man. We've known each other now for, I think we're going on about 3 years. We got to hang out last year at the Tampa Bay, I guess 2 years ago at the Tampa Bay game. And what an incredible job you do over, you know, it's completely different there. We're going to dive into what it means to be a fan in a different country, a different time zone, what that looks like. Here's what I want everybody to walk away from. We're going to be talking, kind of summarizing a little bit of the 49ers offseason to this point, which we got some new news today at the owners meeting. We'll dive into that. Ayuk, contracts, Purdy, all that stuff. But it's kind of a refocusing in the middle of draft season because, man, the draft is about 3 weeks away. So excited about that. And we're obviously going to dive into some draft questions, but a reassessing, a stepping back and looking at kind of the forest through the trees of what the 49ers are doing currently. Now, the business moves of the 49ers always seem to be firsthand, and they currently have affiliate deals or marketing deals with Mexico and London. That's you. But they added a new one, Paul. Can we talk a little bit about today, breaking news, the 49ers are expanding their market to another continent. The United Arab Emirates, what are your thoughts here as being a London guy where they already have the marketing rights there, expanding that even further?
It just goes to show that the NFL is going global. I said to you off air when we were planning this show, because you're in the middle of draft season and doing all your prep. As an Englishman, it kind of feels a little bit cheeky sometimes that we've stolen your game, that, you know, it's America's game. But the news broke literally half an hour before we were going live tonight. I don't think it changes anything for us in the UK. I think the 49ers have been very open that they plan to obviously market in Mexico, in the UK. But this one did come as a bit of a surprise to me. I mean, I know there was the game in Brazil last year. I know the Eagles and the Packers opened up in Brazil. I think someone put in the chat there, it's going to mean something with the time difference, which you were saying off air, you've done an Australian podcast. Getting this together today, there's 8 hours between me and you. I don't even know what the time difference is, John, but one thing that you can guarantee, whatever time that game's on, the UK faithful will be awake and watching, because we do not miss games. Doesn't matter what time it is.
Yeah, it's incredible, because whenever and shout out to everybody in the chat. I'm seeing Lee Gowland. I'm seeing Chris W. I'm seeing Eric, my man. Like, if people don't understand, like, one of the lifebloods of the 49ers, I think all fan bases, is the chapters. And I mean, there's just so many great chapters and groups of people. And, you know, with the 49ers Rush Road Trip, we get the opportunity to go into your territory and hang out and meet great people. But to do it from England, it's just different. And the Tampa Bay game 2 years ago, 2023, I had the wonderful opportunity, thanks to Paul and Lee Flackers, to watch the game at the Goldmine with you guys. I think there were like 40 of you, maybe more. I mean, it was incredible. And just the chants, the kilts, the flags, learning the new terminology, cuss words when bad plays happen. Thank you, Eric, for that one. It was just awesome. And so, man, first off, let's bracket this conversation. Then I'm going to turn it over to you. How did you become a fan of the 49ers, and what has that looked like? And just start us at the origin story, because I think that this is just beautiful. And for American fans that are, you know, you like the 49ers because your family grew up with them and all that stuff. I love this story. Faithful stories from afar. Paul, how did you become a 49ers fan?
So being a UK-based fan, the NFL has always been there. I'm 44 years of age at the moment, John. I probably look it. But I remember the early 80s, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. In England, if you were a fan of the NFL in the 80s, it was either the Niners, the Dolphins, or the Bears. And funnily enough, my journey to be a 49ers fan began with the Bears. So I changed jobs in 2010, and there was a colleague who was a Bears fan. Didn't do English football. So back then, I was all about the English football. Start work. And he's talking to me about American football. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. John, first downs, rushing the quarterback. And funnily enough, that weekend, the Niners were playing the Bears. Now, it was Colin Kaepernick's first start, and it was Monday Night Football. So stupidly enough, I agreed to watch this game of American football without realising prime time in the UK meant a 1 a.m. start. And there was no way I was supporting the Bears. And I stayed up. And as you can see behind me, number 7, he might be a controversial figure, but I fell in love with the 49ers that night. And from that moment on, I've never missed a game. I started collecting my merchandise. I found Lee Gowland. I found the UK chapter. Because when you first get into the NFL in the UK, you kind of, it's a lonely existence because of the time difference. You're sat at home, you're on your phone, you're on the internet. And then seeing the rise of the NFL, you could go to any major city in England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland today, and you would see some NFL merchandise. You can have a chat with people about NFL. It's on the sports bars. Obviously, you saw last year, Frank Gore was partying with us in London. As I said, I didn't have Dancing to Journey, Don't Stop Believing on my bingo card last year with Frank Gore. And what a legend. But the Niners have just thrown the weight behind since they've got the UK marketing rights. And that's where my journey to be a 49ers fan began. And I don't do English football. I don't do other sports. I'm either watching content like yours, watching YouTube videos, and just watching the games.
And now you're into coaching. We were just talking off air. Now you're coaching the youngins and bringing the football game over to, what is it, like 16 and under? What age are you coaching?
Yeah, so it's under 14s stroke under 11s. So we've merged two teams under one umbrella. So the flag football initiative is huge in England at the moment with the Olympics coming up, and the NFL are right behind that. So I've been coaching for about 12 months now. So I haven't said to you off air, I haven't learned root trees, explain to children what a zone scheme is, of rushing the quarterback. But I've seen the enthusiasm grow. I mean, soccer is king in England. People who are from the UK watching are probably cringing at me calling it soccer. But to me, football is the NFL. But I've fully enjoyed the coaching and getting the kids into football. Not so many Niners fans yet, but I'm working on it. Stupidly enough, there seems to be a few Packers fans, but I blame the dads for that. But I'm trying, John. I go to every week decked out in red and gold, and I saw one kid come with Niners gloves on the other day. So I thought, I'm making a difference. I definitely am.
So, all right, B's channel, I appreciate this comment. Are the Niners going to play an international game this year? It seems like there is one opportunity. What are your thoughts? The Browns are hosting the London game. The 49ers have them on their schedule as a road team. The 49ers would be the road team. What are your thoughts here?
I don't think it's happening. And this is where me and Lee Gowland fall out. The reason why I don't think it's happening, I think the Niners want to come across as a home game. Now, I thought it was going to happen last year when we had the extra game with the new arrangement, because for all you American 49ers fans watching, I do not want to take away a game at Levi's. And believe it or not, John, I understand the criticism of the time difference. Whenever I tweet something out, I think people forget I'm based in England. You see the tweet. I want the Niners to come to London. Selfishly, for the UK faithful, it would be amazing to host and have you guys join us. But I get the concerns with the travel, with the time difference. It won't stop any of us in the UK being fans if the Niners don't come across. But that is the one chance this year. I think we play Cleveland at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think it's in October. But do you think the Cleveland Browns are going to give up a road game against the Niners? Because the Niners travel well wherever they go. And that's the key thing. I think we had the chance to come over last year as a home team, but the team turned it down. So...
And I think that's the thing. Like, people have to understand, in this 17-game situation that the NFLPA, CBA, like, currently is in, you get 9 home games 1 year. The 49ers had that last year. Then you have 9 road games the following year, and it alternates AFC-NFC. With the NFL expanding, now they're expanding to UAE. They're talking Australia, Brazil. I mean, they are not stopping because of money. The amount of money that it brings, the new fans that it brings, the new dollars, TV sets that it brings, international games are not going away. They are going to be more. And I think what they're trying to get to is that that ninth game, every single team plays an international game almost every single year. That's what they're trying to get to. And they will be there sooner than later. So if the 49ers did play that international game, and you're not losing the game at Levi's this year, instead of traveling to Cleveland, which went really, really bad the last time we went there, you would go to London. You just keep going. And if they do go, I can guarantee you this, Paul, I will be there smiling, red cheeked, bear hugging you like a crazy man, having a wonderful time with the 49ers Rush road trip. Now, can you just talk to us real quick? Just talk to us a little bit about your chapter, 49ers Faithful UK, the podcast. If people have not subscribed yet, and this doesn't even matter if you're England from afar, whatever, it's just a damn good show. Great people that are no football. Like, it's not even like, oh, you guys take us on your journey of learning. No, Paul, you're a coach. You know what the hell you're talking about. So talk to us just a little bit about where the chapter is currently and where they could go find your show.
So the chapter is called The 49er Faithful UK. We went quite basic with that, John. Keep the title of Faithful, add UK on there. We are a passionate community of 49ers fans based in the UK. But we've got, as you said, people from Ireland, people from Wales, people from Denmark. When we flew out to the 2023 game for the Gold Mine, that was just the pinnacle of what we've been working towards. I mean, we see what you do with the Rush Road trip, and it's inspirational. So what we do is each year, when the fixtures are finally released, there is normally one or two games, John, which is at 6 p.m. UK time. That is a sweet spot for a watch party in the UK because you can get the venue. People can travel from all over. And that's how it originated. 2018, there was 8 of us at a sports bar in Manchester. You know, each year it got bigger and bigger. And then in 2022, Nick Clark reached out. Now, I still get goosebumps, John, seeing that email in my Gmail inbox. I'm a fan in the UK. I'm a dad. I work full time. I do this content creating as a hobby. And to see your team send an email and ask for a meeting... I'll be honest, I thought, what have I done wrong? Have I tweeted something out? Have I said something that's upset the team? And then me and Lee went on a Zoom call and Nick Clark just said, we're getting the UK marketing right. What can we do to make the game bigger? And you've been part of it. I mean, the one with Joe Staley, we had a Zoom call like this where you were hosting. I couldn't hear a word you were saying because of the noise. There was 500 capacity bars sold out. Joe Staley partied with us. We had the same again last year, sports bar in London. The Niners flew over Frank Gore days after he'd been inducted into the 49ers Hall of Fame. So, like, it is what it says on the tin. Every Sunday, the NFL starts at 6 p.m. in the UK. So you settle down at home, you watch the football, and then you basically, we have a Discord group chat. And as Chris is saying there, we stay up through the night. We keep each other company. Now, last few years, John, the roller coaster hadn't been too bad. But last year, as you can imagine, it did hurt. But, I mean, like you said, the podcast is 4 fans in the UK. There's me and Lee Gowland are the 2 Englishmen. Gareth, the Welshman who hosts. Nadji, the famous Frenchman who was the one who knew all the knowledge of football. And doing the podcast, John, got me to want to be better and better. Now, the content creators like yourself, I absorb all your content. And the reason for me getting into this was some in the UK... don't watch as much as me. So for people who watch my show, I always shout out yourself. I always shout out the Brad Grahams. I always point people
legend
to where I get the content. So to be included in this year's 49ers Media Madness, I'm not going to lie, John, I was quite excited. I lost in the first round, but I made the list.
There's nothing wrong with losing in the first round, believe you me. That is an okay thing. But, Paul, I mean, you're a part of it. You are a part of it. April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if it's only spare change. I love Acorns, and I've used it for over 3 years now because if I'm busy, it takes care of it. If I have time to spend a lot of time in research, that option's there too. So, sign up now and join over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers, that's 49ERS, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Springtime is here, and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 your cash today. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match players' projections from different sports, combine your favorite baseball players with your players from basketball, hockey, esports, and much more. Also, Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into this sports season. So, sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So head over to prizepicks.com, or you can go to the app, download the app today, and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, go to prizepicks.com or download the app and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Now, we've got some, I love this, David, and this is one of the things I want to talk about today, because you have been very adamant about your draft crush. And David R. says, Paul, who's your draft crush? Talk to me about him, man. Sell me on your guy.
Well,
let's go. Come on, Paul.
Last year, I was banging the drum for Isaac Guerrero, and a few people laughed at me for that. It was the only one that I got right. Now, Najee Harris has been wanting a running back. So Cam Scattibore is the draft crush. Now, I'm not saying we're taking him at 11, but I just think we all fell in love with his highlight reel. We feel he's a Kyle Shanahan kind of player. To be sensible, I've got two draft crushes at number 11. I've got one on the offensive side of the ball, Will Campbell. And the defensive side of the ball, to reach, but Derek Harmon. I just have this feeling, John, that we're going to go down that Oregon route again. We're going to get a defensive tackle. I know it'll be a reach. Some people think we should trade back and get him. But at pick 11, they're the two that I think we'll choose between. But the 49er Faithful UK's overall draft crush is Cam Scattibore. And I'm tweeting it into existence, John. You've seen the note. You've seen the tweets. That's who I want anyway.
Now, and I think that he is a fit, especially with the Niners. I don't think the Niners go after any more kind of Jordan Mason types in the fact that they are limited in the passing game. They want guys that can run the diverse route tree since they've had Christian McCaffrey. I think that's who they go. And that's what Cam Scattibore offers, is versatility. I think he has the best hands of any running back in this class. Not that he runs the best routes, but he is an all-purpose running back. If he's there in the fourth round, I would like it. I think third round's a little early, especially with he's not the fastest guy, but he's very dynamic for sure. Now, I do want to talk about your other two that you said, including Will Campbell, which his relative athletic score just came in. It's a 9.91, which what the hell does that mean, right? if you look at the last 1,500 offensive tackles that have been drafted in the NFL, 1,500, he's the 15th most athletic tackle to come out of the draft since they started tracking this in the past like 10 years. I love Will Campbell. I do not think that there is a chance he will be there at 11. But like you said, I would love that guy. Now, who was your other one on the defensive side? Because I want to hear it again, just because it makes me feel nice.
Well, I said Derek Harmon. So
I love it.
As a 49ers content creator in the UK, I do get approached by other UK-based podcasts. And I was asked to do the 49ers pick in their mock draft. And believe it or not, Will Campbell and Derek Harmon were still there. So the other 10 content creators had done their pick. And I was like, I really want to take Will Campbell, but I had to do it as what the team would do. And I just think, John, we're going to go defensive tackle. I just think that it's a need on the roster. I just think with Salah coming back, I think he'll have more say. And the fact that we've let some of the free agents go and the fact that we could have kept them with not much hit on the salary cap. So Derek Harmon, that makes Najee happy because he's a big Oregon fan. For context, I don't have a college football team. I kind of just go with the flow. I don't watch the college football because it's late on a Saturday. So I can watch the game tape without any emotion. I know you're a big Texas fan. Lee Gowland's a Stanford fan. But for me, when I get to this time of year, I don't have those emotions attached to certain players. But would you be happy with Harmon? Would you think he'd be a good pick?
I would be. I think it is too high for him. I have him a little bit later, but I think that he's a perfect fit for the 49ers. So, yes, I would not be upset with him at 11. I think it is, but that's what this draft is. I think that there's a stud kind of top 5-6, and then after that, you're settling on somebody. Whether it's Mike Green and the off-the-field issues, which is, you know, that's the next topic I want to jump into. We got a super chat here from Skywalker. Appreciate you, man. He says, as draft day approaches, I'm falling more and more in love with Mike Green. To me, he is this year's Jared Verse. Love the show. Go Niners. I love Mike Green. The tape is he should be going top 8. Like, he's that damn good. He's closer to Abdul Carter than he is the rest of the defensive ends in this draft class. But you cannot let go of the fact that he has been dismissed from not one, but two schools for sexual assault issues. And so the 49ers spent a top 30 visit with him at the combine and an official top 30 visit with him taking place soon. The Niners are interested. Can they get to the point where we remember Reuben Foster? They haven't gone after somebody with off-the-field issues like this since Reuben Foster, but they spent not one but two meetings with him. And shout out to your boy, Lee Gallen. You know, he's saying Mike Green no matter what. He is an impact player at a major premium position that the Niners have nothing. Right now, Sam O or maybe Ytir Gross Matos is your start and end opposite of Nick Bosa. You plug Mike Green into that position, and it's solidified. Off the field issues, though. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the Niners, as you said, we got burnt by Reuben Foster. That's the first time I've heard Lee Gowland say Mike Green no matter what, John. So I think he's just playing to the popular opinion. But that's what El Presidente does.
He's the best.
When it comes to things like this, I defer to people like yourself. Like last year, your draft guide, other half, Tracy, was... You're reading that again, Paul? I was like, yes, Tracy, it's draft day.
Sorry, Tracy.
Now, the draft for me as well. So my eldest turns 18 on April the 29th. So I'm under strict orders not to be staying up for the draft. But I can't help myself, John. But I just think the off-the-field issues might cause. And when I was looking at the list, Jaylen Walker is another one that I think is a little bit of a left-field pick at 11, given that we've lost Dre Greenlaw. I know there's a lot of love for Mason Graham, the defensive tackle, but this might sound controversial, Faithful. I don't think Shanahan goes best player available. We saw that last year with, you know, I didn't expect Ricky Purcell at 31. I think the consensus was we wanted to draft out of the first round, but nobody was willing. So they've kind of, they took Purcell knowing either Ayuk or Debo was going to be gone. But I don't see Mike Green being a 49ers, John. It might be controversial, but that's my take on it.
I think I'm with you as well. And then 805 Blackbeard with the super chat. He says, Jahad Campbell at 11. I am more and more warming up to this idea. He does have the shoulder issue, but I do expect him to play week one. I think he's going to be ready. I would love Jahad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama, even though we just brought up a linebacker from Alabama. You know, and Reuben Foster, don't scout the uniform or the helmet, scout the player. Might be one of the safest players in this draft. And this is the problem, Paul. Tarik Harmon, Kelvin Banks I throw in there, Will Campbell. We're talking, you know, Walter Nolan. All these players, there's not a big difference once you get out of the top five, top seven. Trade back is ideal, but you got to have a dance partner. Yep. And so that's why whenever I get into this scenario with that context and you tell me Tarik Harmon, my eyes tell me Tarik Harmon is a fit. Is he the number 11 player overall worthy? Yeah, I got him, you know, I think I have him 19th. So it's not a super reach, but it's a big fit. So I'm not against it by any stretch at all. Really, really not. So go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say what's interesting, it's the offseason. But the Niners fan base are so passionate and plugged in. And because of the gaps in the roster, that's why I think we're all focused on this draft. There's a feeling that we've got to get it right with every draft pick. You know, I know we've got 11. We've probably got the most with the Ravens with the draft pick. And on our show last few weeks, what we've been doing is looking back through the previous drafts that John and Kyle have done and seeing some of the hits, seeing some of the misses. But like you've said, it's great seeing all this focus on the fact that we've got a first round pick. We're picking at 11. And if we take Harmon at 11 faithful, then he absolutely balls out. Isn't that the ideal scenario? And it might be a reach at the time, John, but look at the Patriots when they took that offensive lineman in the first round a couple of years ago. Bill Belichick.
He's not even starting now.
Look at Jake Moody as much to go down that route. You know, who thought we'd take a kicker that high up? And I always reference your live reaction, you know. No, thank you, John. We don't want another kicker drafted. But
I have it saved here. Here it is. Here was the live reaction. This is when they announced Jake Moody, third round pick. This was me, and shout out to Brian Carter 99. Our instant reaction when we were live on the show. It was gross, man. It was just. And then now you've got Jim Harbaugh, you know, talking about how great Jake Moody is at the owners' meeting. And it's like, dude, trade him then. Like, no, just absolutely no. And there's other players too. Shout out to my man Phil. He says, have Drake Jackson and Robert Bell been cut? There are players that the 49ers have drafted that have provided little to no anything. Real quick, Phil, Drake Jackson has not been cut. Robert Bell has not been cut. And a big reason why, again, Jake Moody's not going to be cut. Those are rookie deals. So if you cut him, Jed York, the owner, does not get any bit cash back. They're almost completely guaranteed. That's why you saw the cut of Leonard Floyd, even though it didn't help you with salary cap, it just helped cash. That's why you saw the cut of Malik Collins, didn't help you salary cap, just helped save the owner cash. That's why these rookies, Jake Moody, still on a rookie deal, Drake Jackson, rookie deal, Robert Beal, rookie deal. I would say out of those three, though, Robert Beal has actually contributed to this team in a positive way. He is a above positive run defender, can't rush the passer at all, and he's a very good special teams player. He was my runner-up special teams player last year, which isn't really saying a lot, but I think Robert Beal still has a lot to offer. And Drake Jackson, if you cut him, you don't get anything back. So you don't get cap back, you don't get cash back, you don't get anything. So I think the 49ers hang on to all three of those players. What are your thoughts on those three? Moody, Drake Jackson, Robert Beal, anything come to mind?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Jed York's obviously going through this kind of cost-cutting exercise. And it is about the dollars, and it's about what he can get back. And most people want Moody cut because they feel like we can get a veteran off the street and plug him in. But I would hope, faithful, that we're not relying on a kicker this year. You know, last year, as you said, John, anything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And I think the fact that his confidence was shot, it's telling for me that Tabor Pepper has been released. He was a solid long snapper, but maybe they're wanting to think, right, it wasn't all Moody's fault. Maybe I'm looking for things in the offseason to look. But Drake Jackson hasn't lived up to the expectations. I think we were all excited when we drafted him. When you looked at his game tape coming out of college, he was going to be the bookend to Bosa, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that other pass rusher. You know, and you mentioned the NASCAR package when you were talking to Larry the other day. It just hasn't happened for Drake Jackson. But as you said, if it's not going to save Jed York any money, he's going to keep him on the roster, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you've already paid him. He's young. There's some hope there. You just see what happens. And if he's not healthy, you put him on the pup again. Doesn't even cost you a roster spot. Like, the problem isn't do they deserve a roster spot. The problem is they don't cost you money. They don't cost you cap. They don't cost you a roster spot if they're unhealthy. Robert Beal and Jake Moody are a little bit different, but Drake Jackson, he doesn't cost anybody. He's not taking anybody's job. He's not. And again, there's still potential there. He was a second round pick, but yeah, that's kind of where it goes. Silent, we got another super chat, man. Paul shows up and people start opening up their wallets. That's the rainmaker over here. I love it. He says Ezuraku, talking about Donovan Ezuraku, edge Boston College, would be a better pick than Mike Green. 34-inch arms, top three code, 20-yard shuttle, great tape. Why the insistence from the front office that Brindle is good? So we got two questions here. First, let me just give you a little bit about Donovan Ezuraku. I like him. I like him a lot. He is small, 6'2", 248. So he's got the elite first step. There's no doubt about that. The production's there. I like him. I like him. I have a second round grade. Not that he lacks the wow factor, Donovan Ezuraku. It's just lacks power in the bigger picture of things. Like powers, he has bend. He's got that, but he plays with great leverage. He just does not have the wow factor for me. But if you get that dude at 43, which I think he probably goes 30s to 40s, that's typically where those guys go, whether it's, you know, Harold Landry, Nate Herbig, these awesome players. And I think he's an 8-sack-a-year guy. I would love for the 49ers to get him. But he just doesn't have that boom. This guy is elite like Mike Green does. So I do have Mike Green considerably higher. Now, I want to ask the second part of this question to you, Paul. What are your thoughts on Jake Brindle and the fact that the 49ers just seem to just ride with him no matter what?
It's a strange one because as Niners fans, we want Kyle to invest in that O-line. We saw it last year. There was a big push for us to take an O-lineman in the first round. Now, Lee Gowland's favorite player, Dominic Puney, was taken in the third round. And interesting from that super chat, his 3-cone and 20 shuttle was pretty impressive. And we got a steal in the third round for Puny. But I think that's reinforced to Shanahan, John. I don't need to spend a first round pick on this offensive lineman. Everybody last year was telling me to take one higher. Did we get Puny's at third or fourth? It was later on. So he's probably going to think, hang on a minute, we've got better need. He'd probably take a cornerback higher up before he takes an offensive lineman. And Shanahan just thinks his scheme, he doesn't need to spend that money. He's got all the faith in the world in his scheme and plugging them in. Brendel's a strange one because obviously when he first joined, I think there was a lot of talk about we were a revolving door at centre and he's the first one that we've had that stayed. But I know from watching your content, the game tape doesn't get any better. And you just think, what more does there need to be on tape for the front office to think, right, we need an upgrade? I think there was a lot of people wanting Drew Dalleman, wasn't it, to come in, but he signed $42 million deal, which meant we were never paying that. But I don't know, John. I'd like to see someone beat him out in camp. You and Larry Kruger talked about this on Saturday morning, and I was enthralled, much to the delight of my other half, thinking, it's the off-season. Why are you listening to those guys talking about someone playing centre? But you two talked about it a lot more than what I could on Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny. I went to Vegas for the first round of the NCAA tournament, and I met a lot of people and met some people from across the pond, Bristol, actually. And they were like, oh, you talk 49ers. Like, you start getting to know people, and you always have, oh, what do you do? Whatever. I was like, oh, I do a podcast, and I talk 49ers. And they're like, oh, like, all the time? I was like, yeah, every day. Every day. Like, what do you talk about? I was like, oh, there's always something. Like people are always just like that don't know. It's like, well, what do you do? And I was like, I just talk 49ers. It's all. That's it. And it works. Shout out to Tracy. A lot of people have that opinion. But that's okay. That's okay. We love Tracy. Kyle says if Shanahan can get a great day two offensive lineman like Puni last year, I'll be very, very happy. And the good news is there are a lot of guys in that mold this year, in the kind of second to third round. Josh Connerly, Ariante Ursary, Anthony Belton, Charles Grant, who they just met with again, Ozzie Trapillo, Chase Lunt, Tate Rutledge. Like, there are players that are very similar to Dominique Pooney. Now, can you predict a third round come in and be a stud like that? Doesn't happen very often. However, there are players that kind of fit that mold in this draft class, which is good news. Now, let's jump to current offseason trends. The owners' meetings taking place. Brandon Ayuk is due another $20-plus million tomorrow, Paul, if they don't trade him. Now, John Lynch came out today and says he's confident that Brandon will be on this team this year and moving forward. What are your thoughts on the Ayuk deal, and is he going to be here tomorrow / 2025-2026?
I think when Stephen Diggs signed that deal with the Patriots, to me, that was the writing was on the wall, and it's a business. You know, someone trading for him now is taking on that guaranteed money. It's $50 million, I believe. It's the $20-odd million this year and next year guaranteed. And I'm like you. I've got no problem with the players getting paid. I go back to this time last year. I wanted to keep Ayuk. He was one of my favourites. I wanted him to get the bag. I didn't want him playing on his fifth-year option. It's just unfortunate that he got that such a great deal. Then he went down injured. Lee Gowland, good friend of mine, we said it on our show. We didn't think he was going to get drafted. I mean, I saw the report about an hour before we went live, and I shared it in our community chat, and everyone was like, okay, Captain Obvious. He's under contract. He's not going anywhere. And I was like, I'm just sharing the news, people. Don't shoot the messenger. But no, I mean, he's not due to come back till about game six, game seven. So it's not as if he's ahead in his rehab. And unless you've got a really desperate need. You said it at the start of the show. You need a dance partner. And I think at this point, John, we'd have to give up picks to get his contract off the books. And I don't think the faithful would be too happy with that.
No, it doesn't go with the narrative. And so I hope that he is there. I didn't want that contract to be like it was, but it was. And so now we're there, and I hope we keep him because we've let go of so much other stuff. And probably my biggest kind of quirk, or like I read the quote, John Lynch said, they're going to continue to be aggressive and whatever else. And I'm like, continue to be like the 49ers have been very aggressive in the past. However, you lost 8 starters in free agency, replaced 0 starters. You did not replace 1 starting caliber player on offense or defensive side of the ball this year. And then you get up there and say, oh, we're going to continue to be aggressive. Continue. It starts over every year. Now, yeah, you might be able to restructure or re-extend Warner and Kittle and Brock Purdy. I think that deal is going to get done. But it's just like, I would not call what the 49ers did this offseason aggressive in any way, shape, or form, unless you're talking about cutting and getting rid of people. So, like, I don't know. What are your thoughts whenever you hear, not that I'm asking you to critique, I consider you a fan that is, like, the best fan ever.
Yeah, I'm ultra
What are your
positive.
Thoughts when you hear him say that?
So, since becoming a content creator, for want of a better word, I have had to temper that positivity at all times. And like you said, this offseason, I think we were all kind of recovering from the Super Bowl hangover. But it's a copycat league, the NFL. And I think they've looked at what the Rams have done last year. And the Rams, you know, gutted their roster, went younger, went draft heavy. And I think they've thought, that approach seemed to work. What have we got to lose? They've kept some of the core players in their mind. I try not to get too upset with that lack of free agency kind of signings, but it's been a transition because, you know, you cast your mind back to when Hargrave was the number one free agent. Nobody thought we were going to be in for him. And we were going live at the time when the news broke. And we were all amazed, like, wow, we've snagged the top free agent. You know, you look at the money that we spent over the last few years. So you're right. You can't say we're aggressive when this offseason we've released fringe players. Like you said, you know, you let Floyd go when there was no reason to let him go. So unless he means aggressive, that they're going to go into the draft and they're going to be aggressive and get the players that they want. Maybe we don't come out with the draft with 11 picks, John. Maybe we package a few picks up. We jump up. There's a lot of us talking about pick number 11. We've all got nightmares of the Trey Lance trade. Maybe we see something where we jump up into that top 5. I'm not saying for a quarterback, people. We're not going down that road. But maybe that's what he means, John.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is a reset. You know, it's a 1 year, hey, we're going to get back a lot and we're just going to kind of ride this year out without adding any really good talent. Absolutely. How many Luke Farrells are out there? You paid premium money for that tight end two spot, and you actually got Mac Jones on a cheap deal. I would argue those are the only two positions, tight end two and quarterback two, you improved, but you did improve those two. And I'm not trying to discount everything. It's not doom and gloom. It's just, okay, this is a little bit different than what we have done in the past. What is this going to look like long term? Is this the new 49ers? I mean, this is the Jerry Jones approach to free agency. And I don't like having anything in common with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys ever. Like, no, I don't want that. So hopefully it's just a 1 year. And now I had a question from a listener, Manuel, on Patreon. He said, John, curious, do you think that this 49ers new financial issues, whatever you want to call it, was in their plan when they hired Robert Saleh and made him aware? So what are your thoughts, Paul, on bringing back Robert Saleh, but then not retaining any of his players, cutting several starters for just cash only? Where do you stand on, do you think Robert Saleh knew this was going to happen? And if so, you're probably going to draft a bunch of defensive guys, right? That's a good news.
Well, it weirdly makes me a little bit happier, because when we were pursuing Saleh and we were kind of letting him go at the interviews for the head coach positions that were vacant at the time, it seemed we didn't have a plan B. It was either Robert Saleh or we were going to get Brandon Staley. And I think all Niners fans were thinking what was happening. And then I think, for me now, Saleh's not come back on a 1 year, kind of come back to the Niners, one and done, and go and get another head coach job. Maybe he's coming back to put some roots down, and maybe they've said, we'll overhaul the defense. I mean, we're going to get on to Dre Greenlaw, because there's been a lot of talk in our group today about that. Maybe he's part of the plan, because he hasn't come out and voiced his unhappiness. Maybe Kyle's going to say, right, get yourself in the draft room with John. We're going to let you pick the defense you want. Because let's face it, the Jets defense wasn't the reason that he got fired. We all know the firestorm that's the Jets. So it's made me a little bit happier that we maybe haven't splashed the cash in free agency on all these players. But he must have been aware of the plan, John, because you don't sign a contract at a franchise like the Niners, come back, and then all of a sudden them say, actually, do you know what, Robert? We're not going to spend any money, and you've got no say in the draft. Let's face it, the coach that we had last year, the defensive coach, he was kind of promoted from within, and I don't think he had that support there. So we're not going to make that mistake again, surely. I mean, I want to say it can't get any worse from last year. Surely it can't.
Yeah. Shout out to my man, Phil. He's a good friend. He says, I like that hat, Paul. Sometimes we forget about the 49ers part of our name. Where'd you get that hat? And if somebody wanted to order it, if you're watching it live, Paul and hat game A+ all the time. Look at the room and the decoration behind him. This dude don't miss. Where'd you get that hat? Do you remember?
Yeah, so I can put the link up afterwards. It was from a German star, believe it or not. So the NFL is grown in Germany. So it is the 60th anniversary. Ooh. So like you, I do like my residency, but I've progressed great to company. Kind of mixing it up. And I've done a few shows with you, and Tracy and the girls pointed out that I always wear a residency hat. So this is the new one. So I thought I'd mix it up with the 49ers hat, John. But yeah, the background. But don't worry, Phil. I can send you the link. I'll share it afterwards. I think you could get it in this colour. You could get it in black. But yeah, I have far too many 49ers hats for Tracy's liking. Same. But what have I got to do, John? You've got to keep the outfit fresh.
What's funny is I'm disappointed because the new draft hats just got released. The NFL does new, and I don't like them at all. But I look forward to every year. Like last year, I bought two. I bought two different colors. Like, and so I'm liking withdrawals because the draft's approaching. This is when I get new hats, and I'm gonna have to do some searches and get some new hats anyway. You can't take that away from me with your bad hat draft planning. With whatever it is. But Phil, I do want to say, I got your email as well. I think it was Phil. We do have a Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting tonight at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time for all our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com subscribers. So this is where we get to hear from you. Join us 5:30. That's been posted on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. Let's talk some Dre Greenlaw. And Paul, I want you to start this conversation because I might get a little emotional. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, before, just to Phil, if you're based in the States, I did get a brand 47 hat with this logo from Pier 39 when I was at San Francisco. And I have to admit, John, walking into that sports store for the first time and just seeing all the Niners gear, because we have to order all our stuff online, I was blown away. So you'll definitely be able to get one with this font. But the Dre Greenlaw news broke this afternoon for us in the UK. And it was quite interesting because somebody had posted in our group chat last night, surely Dre Greenlaw hasn't left for less money and surely he would always choose the 49ers. And I think it was quite telling that when these people say, who's your source? Dre Greenlaw's family, his dad, his stepdad, whichever version of the event, has actually come out and said, it was me. That's had the chat with him. He was a Broncos fan as a kid. And my gut feeling, John, is we left the deal too late. I think we maybe banked on the fact that he had that close relationship with Fred Warner. You know, he was coming off the Achilles injury. It's kind of bittersweet to hear that we outbid the Denver Broncos, but I think Dre Greenlaw wanted to feel that love. We all want to feel wanted, and I think it was a little bit too last minute. He'd already agreed the deal, and he strikes me a man of principle. Once he's agreed to do something, he was going to go. He's got that link with Hufanga. I mean, I was gutted to see him go. He was one of my favourite players, that partnership with Fred Warner. But like you, I'm plugged into social media and I saw the writing on the wall as soon as the season finished. You know, Fred Warner and his wife, their podcast, they said their goodbyes. They were very public on Instagram. Dre Greenlaw's partner, wife, the rest of it. So I'm gutted, John, because it doesn't sound as if it was to do with money. It sounds like it was to do with effort, if I'm reading it right.
Yeah. What was the quote? It was a last-ditch effort. And this is kind of what the 49ers, the whole time I'm reading this article, and people got upset at me for putting this out on social media. That's okay. Disagreements are always good. They don't agree with anybody all the time. That's when you know you're in a cult. Don't be in a cult. But I was like, man, this feels like the Joe Schoen, Saquon Barkley event the previous year, where it's like, oh, man, we want you here. You're a part of us. Go figure out what you want, you know, what you could get, and then we'll match it. That's not what people want. People want to know they're a priority. And Dre Greenlaw, you know, never a team captain with us, which I thought was ridiculous. You know, not put out there publicly very much as a team leader. He's not on billboards. He's not on, you know, social media posts. Like, that's a mistake. Dre Greenlaw was a star that had to play second fiddle to Fred Warner, which that's not an insult at all, but it's like, man, he was not ever put at the forefront as a leader of the team. They didn't have him speak at press conferences after. He was never prioritized. And so now you tell me I get to go to my childhood team, the number one defense in the NFL, mind you, the Denver Broncos last year, plus they're bringing Hufanga, plus they're bringing almost all the Niners guys that we let go. And so I totally took this as, yes, props to the Niner for offering more money. But we've seen them do this with contract negotiation. Start off little, and then it ends with what it is. And it left a bad taste in my mouth. I do not fault Dre Greenlaw. I give the 49ers props in the fact that they did finally be willing to open up their wallet a little bit, but too little too late, as you said. He's my favorite player in the NFL, and now he has gone on a different team. And I'm going to miss Big Play Dre. I'm going to root for him, and I hate that it happened, but he deserves to be a captain. He deserves to call the team defense. He deserves, and he deserved the Niners to make him a priority this offseason instead of somebody's wallet to start with. That's just my own personal take, so...
Yeah, I mean, for us, when we went to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs and you've got, you know, all the media madness that week, we had a UK content creator there and Dre was one of the few 49ers players that actually sent a message that we were allowed to use on our channel. So we all had a soft spot for Dre because of that. And I just think we chanced our arm at. He's coming off an injury. He loves Fred Warner. Robert Saleh's coming back. And like you said, John, it's going to be a shame. I've seen someone in the chat there say that they're never even going to get to wear their Greenlaw jersey. Wear the jersey. I'm a big fan of that. You know,
100%.
You talked about Mac Jones earlier. I don't think I want to see another Niners player wear number 10. But you might have saw my cheeky social media post. I blacked out my number 10 Garoppolo jersey. And I just put Jones on and I was like, I've got the new jersey. And a few people got upset about that. I was like, it's just a joke, just social media.
People get upset. And that my thing is, look, if people are going to get upset, who am I to stop them? I mean, we're going to give them their opportunity. I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to change who I am, but that's okay. Shout out to Vicky Morgan. You know, she's sister of the show. She helps run all the 49ers Rush road trips. And I do want to take just a quick second and say, hey, if you want to watch the draft, whether you're in UK or you're in San Francisco, we got you covered. We're throwing an in-person draft party days one and day two of the NFL draft at Broadway Studios over in the North Beach area, San Francisco. $20 a ticket. Kids get in free. Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. And we have player announcements coming soon. We are finalizing up contracts and all that stuff, so stay tuned for that. But if you're in the UK or anywhere in Europe, how could they join your draft event virtually? Because doesn't it start at like 1 a.m. in the morning?
I liked when you went on with Larry on Saturday and you did your promotion, and then Larry was teasing some of the news, and I was like, the look on your face, I'm not going to do that.
That's
I
okay.
mean, the 14, if I could jump on a plane and fly up to San Francisco, but for us, we'll have to do it virtually. So the 49er Faithful UK, we tend to have a Teams or a Zoom call. So if people want to be part of that, John, just send me a DM. We create a Zoom call. Those of us that stay up, we have, you know, similar to what we're doing now. We're all chatting. We're all talking about the picks. And then the infamous one was the Trey Lance pick. So we were in different rooms on Zoom, and Najee Carraz, her stream was about 2 seconds behind Lee Gowland's. And Lee mouthed, oh my God, it's Mac Jones. And Najee's reaction was akin to your Jake Moody. And then when he saw Trey Lance, Najee was so confused. I mean, those were happier times. But yeah, if you're based in the States, definitely get yourself to yours. I know you looked after the chaps in Tampa Bay last year. So big shout out to Brett, Matt. You know, you looked after them. So anybody who's watching, you definitely need to get to a road show with John. The look.
Dude,
awesome.
There's just something about being with the faithful. That whatever you want to, I don't know, spiritual, whatever, I don't care. It's just better. It is a beautiful thing. And man, and if you've never been to a draft party before, we did one in Vegas and Fred Warner actually came out. I'm sporting my Iron Fred, shout out Ty Austin, shirt right now. But just trust me, just try it once. It just changes things, which the draft has always been my baby. I remember whenever you used to have to switch over from ESPN to ESPN2 to watch day two of the, like, whatever. I loved it. I loved it. And shout out to Justin. Vicky, wear that Greenlaw jersey with pride. Hell yeah. I'm always going to keep my Greenlaw jersey, and I'm going to wear it to a couple games this year no matter what.
So for us in the UK, to have a meetup for the draft, day three tends to be better, because for some reason, the Saturday draft tends to start early afternoon for us. So that was my first meetup with Lee Gowland. Is I went down to Manchester for day three of the draft in like 2018. And like you said, I got hooked, John, because we've echoed what you do. You know, we have a watch party and we say to the faithful, if you've never been, once you've been with watching football or at a 49ers event with other faithful, you're just hooked. You've got to go to all of them. And that was the days before the Niners started sending over legends like Joe Staley and Frank Gore. And I mean, I was chuckling because Lee Gowland knew Frank Gore was coming, and I was sworn to secrecy, and I did so well, John. I didn't say it on any podcasts. I didn't say it on any social media. And then me and Lee met one of the faithful for a Sunday lunch, and I just slipped in conversation like, oh, I can't wait to see Frank Gore in London. And his face was like, I'm never telling you anything ever again, Paul. So I appreciate you having to keep it quiet. But even without the players, meeting up with other faithful, getting the chance to wear red and gold and just talking all things football, it's just amazing.
Oh, I like this question from Silent. Appreciate the super chat. Which player selection would make you riot? Ooh, I like this question. So I'm cool with, like, I can, as a 49ers fan, if you've been around long enough, I remember the Alex Smith pick. And I remember being very disappointed by the Alex Smith pick. Now, there's a lot to get excited about Alex Smith, and I appreciate all that he did for the faithful. But we've been in these situations where it's just like, oh, man, why would they do that? The wide receiver from Illinois, who I will not mention, I remember that pick and just being like, what the hell was that? But in this draft, if there was a player where I'd be like, why would they do that? It would probably be Will Johnson, just because of all the injuries that he's had to his feet and his hip and business decisions. But he's a damn good player. He's number 22 on my big board. That one would make me kind of scratch my head. And probably Jalen Walker, who I think is a stud, but I don't think he fits what we do. I don't think he's an off-the-ball linebacker, and I think he's too small to play that edge spot. I think he has burst. He's the 26th player on my big board. Probably Shamar Stewart would be the one that I would hate the most. But he's a damn good player. I have a second-round grade on him. Is there anybody that stands out to you that if we just picked him, you'd be like, no?
I think if we went tight end and Tyler Warren, given the contract we've just given to tight end two, you know, I won't say his name at the moment, it's a controversial subject, and McKittle, I think it would just be a waste. I don't think we've got the luxury to make a pick. You know, I was just going someone different to you. So Tyler Warren, and I think a few in the chat are saying, Genty, the running back. I don't know whether we can withhold 49ers Twitter if we take a running back in the first round. You know,
not when you have CMC at the most or second most expensive contract at the position for another 2 years. Yeah, I would not like that. NY Niner says he'd lose his food if it was Jalen Walker. I think if you were a 3-4 team, I could understand it, but I'm going to say no. So yeah, Tyler Warren, Genty, or Shamar Stewart.
Victoria's put there another kicker. It would worry about your mental health. I think we'd all worry, Victoria, if we're taking a kicker. But I mean, Sanders, the quarterback from Colorado, could you just imagine the circus with Prime and if Brock hasn't signed his contract and all that kind of noise that would come around a quarterback taken in the first round? So,
yeah, I'm with you there. So, but hopefully, I remember last year, you talked earlier about Ricky Pearsall. I was so worried they were going to get the tackle from OU or Georgia, Marius Mims, who are both like injured all the time. And whenever both those guys were gone, I was like, the Niners can't hurt me. And then they drafted Ricky Pearsall, which I was like, man, he was like, I think I had him like in the 40s or 50s ranked. It worked out. Do I think that you got the appropriate value for a first round pick? Not yet, but it is looking promising. I am not anti Ricky Pearsall. I just thought it was a little bit of a reach. Yeah. And there's always going to be those situations. So, Paul, this has been incredible. Real quick, one more time, where can we follow the podcast or the YouTube channel? Which, man, if you want to smile and just listen to, I don't know if this is a four lads, mates. Is that four mates?
That's
talk
four
49ers,
mates,
Paul.
Lads, yeah. So, I mean, like you said, 49er Faithful UK. So, the handle's there. I run the social media. So, it's me behind the tweets. So if you're on Twitter, which is what I like to call it, I do like to spam your timeline with all things 49ers. But if you search 49er Faithful UK, we are a smaller channel compared to the rest, but we're trying to kind of establish American football from a European perspective. And we're not saying we're experts by any stretch of the imagination. As I said at the start of the show, can't wait for your draft guide to come out because that becomes my Bible in these next coming weeks. But yeah, please do drop us a like, a subscribe, all that good stuff. In season, we do a preview before every game, and then we do a review after every game. And we've got a Wednesday show, which is this one, like this. We go live on a Wednesday, and we just talk 49ers.
That's the one I get the most, is that Wednesday show. That's the one that I usually, in season, is rough for me because I'm always, you know, trying to create. But Wednesday, I feel like you guys ground me well and remind me from a fan status where we are. And I really do appreciate what you offer to the fandom, to the community, because it is grounding. And when you put things into perspective with what other fans are going through, it just, I don't know. There's a connecting feeling to it and a wholesome feeling to it. And I really do appreciate what you guys have been able to do. And I can't wait to see what's next because it's just exponential growth for you guys. And if y'all get that London game, I will be there. I'm going to probably be there for like a week. I told my wife, there's a chance. I hope you come with me, but I'm going, and I will not be back for a while. I will my two goals in 49ers fandom, I've said this many a times, I'm never going to miss a Cowboys game in person again. That's my goal. And I will never miss a 49ers international game in person again. The time to Mexico City.
That looked awesome, Mexico. That looked unbelievable.
I had a better experience than I did at the Super Bowl, regardless of the game.
Yeah,
I had a better experience in Mexico City than I did at Super Bowl. That says so much, the atmosphere that is brought. In my draft guide, I'm putting the finishing touch. I have to be done by Friday, and then I'm going to send it to my editor, and they're going to clean it, and then we're going to have that out probably the next week. So not this week. This is I've got 4 days, Paul. 320 plus people on this thing. I am way behind, but the next 4 days I'm going to be grinding. Look at Vicky right here. Mexico City was a life-changing moment. It really, really was. I cannot recommend enough. If you get the opportunity, go to it. So, Paul, any closing thoughts before we jump out of here, my friend?
Well, I was just going to echo what you said. I mean, we're all plugged into your website. The game tape breakdown has been awesome. The draft guide has been amazing. I just kind of, when I see the adverts for the Patreon Zoom hangouts, I think, oh, it's too late for me. So I'll have to try and see if we can do something for the UK. But my final thoughts will be faithful, trust the process. And if you're not subscribed to John Chapman, you need to sort that out.
You're a good man, Paul. And to all the UK, all the faithful from afar, and to all the faithful that are here in California or the just continental United States, you guys are the best. This has been fun. I'm so excited to keep working. And, Paul, I can't wait to see what you guys do next. Thank you for everybody being here. And until next time, as always, stay strong, faithful.